Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders Radio Network, here with Stephen Waltar, estate planning attorney in Bellevue, Washington, who also, by the way, for those of you that are listening outside of Washington State, Steve does have an amazing network of attorneys across the USA in 48 states. So if you're interested in finding a really good attorney in your area to review those documents, Steve's your guy. Go ahead and go to waltar.com. And reach out to him. Is that a good way to do it, Steve?
Yeah, info@waltar.com would be a good way to get a hold of us.
Perfect. And then what we'll do is he will definitely send you if he has a reference to your area. So anyway, so Steve, we talked a little bit about why people should create an estate plan. We talked to, a little bit about, how things can get confused and crazy in the world if you don't have an estate plan. Tell me a little bit. Obviously, there's wills and there's trust. Those are a big part of what you do. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've done 5,000 plans in this Northwest here.
That's amazing. And so you do, there's different types of trusts, is there not?
Yeah, there's revocable and irrevocable. Everyone needs a plan, right? And so It's not a will or a trust. It's a plan. A will doesn't work till you die. So you need powers of attorney, right, Healthcare, et cetera. And then others would like to do a trust. And there's really common reasons to do a trust. We've got real property in more than one state. Our estates double the tax exempt amount. But I was meeting with a couple once. Might as well tell a story embarrassing about me. This was a retired pastor, and I was ready to sign the fee agreement to do their will plan. And the wife says, "How come Susie Orman says some people want a living trust?" And I said, "Well, some people are worried about privacy and they want to avoid probate." I said, "Well, we want to avoid probate. We want things private." I said, "Some people want stronger incapacity planning." "Well, we want that." And after four or five things in a row, I said, "Let me draft you guys a living trust." And the financial advisor was like, "You sold them a trust." I said, "They wanted a trust. There's lots of advantages of a trust."
Right.
Our job as estate planners is to ask a bunch of questions and design a plan that fits. Yeah. So if someone's single, they have adult children, and they're not at all worried about giving outright to the kids, a will plan's just fine.
Yeah.
You in Washington State, you can even do a transfer on death deed. So it's almost like a brokerage account where it goes directly to a beneficiary without court.
Wow, that's amazing.
There are times a will is the only way to plan in Washington if you're married and you want to protect assets from the state of Washington for a Medicaid lien and Medicaid planning. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of people, it's here's my little, it's maybe hard to see, but this is Homer and Marge Simpson. While you're alive, you can put assets in the trust. And when
that's amazing.
It breaks into the above ground and below ground. What that does is it doubles your tax-free amount. It gives you creditor protection. It gives you remarriage protection. I don't care if my wife remarries if I die first, but I don't want to go to a new spouse, right? I want to be for her and ultimately our children.
Right.
So a trust is just bigger, badder, stronger. It's not for everyone, but why don't you ask me some questions? I think we don't determine what plan people have. We ask questions and reveal, and then they kind of self-select.
Yeah. And Steve, what you're saying is so valuable, because when I look at, for example, my father had assets. He was well off, right? He remarried, and I remember this. He had two trusts, which was interesting. He had a family trust, but then his side, the minute he died, became irrevocable. Right. But it provided for the other half of his estate, provided for my stepmother. And the only time, but then here's what happened. She got incapacitated. She got Alzheimer's. Now I sit there and I think I don't know what happened, because then what happens is it tapped into his irrevocable trust. Right. Mm-hmm. And obviously we and all the kids didn't inherit because of that reason. Right. Now, it's interesting How that works. And I don't understand this whole process, but are there different types of trusts? Because one of the biggest questions I always get is, oh my gosh, my husband's just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I'm going to lose the house. You know, I hear people say that to me all the time. Tell me a little bit about what kind of protections can happen for spouses like that.
That's a whole show.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to do that someday.
A lot of states, a living trust works totally fine. When one dies, the decedent's assets go in a trust and the beneficiary can be the spouse, even if they're incapacitated, and the state can't go after it. That's not true in our state. In Washington, you have to have a safe harbor trust, a spousal testamentary special needs trust. You have to have a container in a will.
Right.
So that can be done. But back to your first question, like when we're trying to design an irrevocable trust, what happens when someone dies?
Yeah.
Do you want to provide some assets to the spouse, or do you want massive access to the spouse? Are you trying to protect it for the next generation?
Right.
So it might be different in a, you know, first marriage family versus a remarriage family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And sometimes you'll have a trust protector because you don't want abuses. So yeah, that can all be designed.
Sure, sure. And that's the thing is based on conversations and your own independent information. So sounds to me like big red flag if a spouse is diagnosed with some sort of a terminal situation, those estate planning documents right away need to be reviewed. I would say that's like high priority.
That's for sure. And forgetting the will trust thing, I think we talked in the break about the story of joint ownership, right?
Yes.
Sometimes people are, oh, I don't want to hire an attorney. I'll just add my son to my account. If you can add your son to a $500,000 brokerage account and you're cruising down the highway and you hit someone, let's say it's the son that hits someone, not the dad. If son owns dad's account, the creditor can wipe out that entire $500,000 account.
Holy moly. So the idea, that's that power of attorney document that protects that person.
Exactly. Let the son have power of attorney, but not be an owner.
Yeah, that's huge. And I oftentimes will say to people, I don't understand why people are reticent to assign power of attorney, when that is a protection document for both of the individuals because it's monitored by the state. Is that correct?
It's not monitored by the
state. Or not monitored, but governed or whatever. Yeah.
I'll put it this way. You want to be careful in choosing powers of attorney. It can be effective immediately. It can be a springing power, like proof of incapacity. It could be co. And then we could draft it to allow gifting or not. But there are times I say there's no way someone should ever be able to use that power of attorney to give the money to the kids. It should all be for the principal, for mom or dad.
Right.
But at other times you have a big enough estate and you say, if they can pay my bills and I want them to slough off money, if I'm about to die, I really do want them to gift money out because I can save estate taxes.
Right, right. And you know, that's the interesting side of this whole process is how do we best prepare? And so Steve, again, how do our listeners reach you and how do they find a really legitimate, good estate planning attorney in their area?
You go to walter.com for us. I know we're about at a break, 425-455-6788. You want to ask financial advisors. You want to do a little bit of checking. I mean, the state bar is not great, but, you know, do some checking with your friends.
Yeah. And for those of you, it's Waltar, WALTAR.com. All right, everyone. We're going to be right back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.